Praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
Well, today I want to, I feel it's right to continue on the same subject of the power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And there is great power in that name. We were speaking latterly last week that in Christ there is total healing.
Yeah.
And that we must, as individuals, as believers, develop our spiritual man.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, we dethrone the natural man.
Yeah.
And in dethroning our intellect, we pull down the strongholds that torment our minds. And I preached a message many years ago on evicting the fanatic in the attic, which is in your mind, and actually giving the authority to the fella in the cellar, which is the Holy Spirit that resides in each and every one of us.
Yeah.
So you have to evict the fanatic that's in your mind, that tells you there is no God, that tells you you will be sick forever, that tells you you're not going to get well, that tells you you're never going to be free. And you've got to go to this fella in the cellar, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And he's the one who speaks truth. And, you know, Jesus said he came to set captives free. And no matter what the captivity might be, no matter what shape or form it is, the name of Jesus is what sets you free from every captivity.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so that name is so important. And to realize the importance and the power in that name. In that name, it can cause us, the word of God causes us to have a healthy body.
Amen.
And a healthy body is a good place for the Spirit of God to dwell, because the Spirit of God wants to impart to each and every one of us health and wealth and strength.
Amen.
For his blessings to flow into our lives, that they might flow out through our lives. And I know some people might cringe when one mentions prosperity, but I mention it in the right sense and frame, in the sense that if you've got some finance available, you can give it to bless others that are in need. It's not about just heaping it upon yourself and keeping it to yourself, but it's about being able to give where there's a need and to meet that need and to expect no thanks for it.
Amen.
Because our reward is in heaven.
Yeah.
Praise his wonderful name. And so we need to be more than a conqueror. And so just as Jesus died for the physical man, he died for the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. God wants us to come to that place where our spirit and our soul, our mind area, and our body come in harmony. That the mind, the spirit, the mind and the body submit to the leading and the direction of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because it's the Spirit that God has placed in us, into you and I, born again. And so we have this incorruptible spirit that God has placed within us. And it's that which has to conquer and to rule and reign. It has got to go through, the Holy Spirit has to go through our lives, cleaning out, dealing with us and moving through us. But it's the word of God that assists the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not work on his own, because he works with the word.
Yeah.
And so the word is so important into our lives that we allow it to work and move through us. And the devil will come against us with other thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the word to God in Isaiah says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. So when the enemy starts coming against you with thoughts that are not God's thoughts, dismiss them.
Amen.
They're not our thoughts. Even as I've been preparing this message, you know, I've been fighting battles to prepare this word. Some mental battles, some other battles going on as I seek to bring the word of the Lord to you. Because God wants to get this message out.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit wants this message to go out.
Absolutely.
To set the captives free.
Amen.
And so as we start part two of the power in the name of Jesus, let's have a look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led out by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. And the great thing is, when you read down to verse 14, it says this: and after Jesus had conquered the devil, all of his temptations, it says, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And news about him spread throughout all the surrounding districts.
Amen.
Praise God. He came out in the power of the Spirit, and news spread through all the surrounding districts. When we, the church, will come out in that power,
mm-hmm.
news will spread throughout all the district.
Yeah.
And praise God, that is the power that we're talking about, is the dynamos, the explosive power of God working in our lives and God giving us his capabilities.
Amen.
To use and move through us. He's not relying on your capabilities.
Amen.
It's his capability flowing through you and me. We are channels, we're the vessels that lets God flow through us.
Amen.
And so today, let us remember that we might at times feel as if we're going through a measure of a wilderness situation. Rejoice in it.
Yeah.
Rejoice in it. Focus on God.
Yeah.
Don't focus on the situation. Focus on God. It's so easy, if we focus on the situation, we suddenly become downcast.
Yeah.
We can be overtaken by the situation. It's like the old story of, you know, we look at a molehill long enough and it becomes a mountain.
Yeah.
We look at a difficulty long enough and it becomes impossible to us. Well, God is a God of the impossible. So look to him, the author and finisher of our faith.
Oh,
praise
man.
His wonderful
I
name.
I love it.
So let's just now turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. I'm just going to click through one or two scriptures again today. Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law.
Yeah.
That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. The law has been put into place that, one, it'll stop the mouths of people, and that it will bring us to a place of acknowledging that we are sinners, and that we need God, we need the Lord Jesus, we need his sacrifice. And we need to repent of our sins. So the law is there that it brings us to a place where it brings us to that point of we acknowledge, I am guilty before Almighty God. But praise God, he doesn't stop there. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
He doesn't stop there, because there is a name that is above every name.
Amen.
There is a name that will do great and mighty things. And then verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. For by the law is knowledge of sin. And so it's through the law that we actually find that place of realizing that our lives are lives that were sinful lives. But when we came to Christ and acknowledged our sin, when we came to Christ and acknowledged him to be the spotless, sinless one, the Son of God, who died again and on that cross and rose on that third day for you and for me, we came to that place of realizing that he paid the price.
Amen.
For my sin. He paid the price for my sickness, for my diseases. He paid it all. There's nothing left to be paid. And so that we, as we acknowledge that we are sinners, that we need Christ in our lives, so we come to Christ and we give our lives, we surrender our lives to Christ, we surrender all that we have and all that we are to him. And in doing so, he forgives us and he draws us close to himself, and he brings us to that place where we are children of adoption.
Amen.
Today, we are adopted into the family of God.
Amen.
God the Father actually picked you out. He chose you. You weren't an accident looking for somewhere to happen. You know, some people will be told as they're growing up, you were an accident. You weren't meant to be here. Well, guess what? God meant you to be here.
Amen.
You're not an accident looking for somewhere to happen.
Amen.
You are a plan. God has a purpose. God has a design plan worked out for you. And we have to just begin to work it out with him and flow with him. And even as that statement I put up this morning on Messenger, just lay back on God. Mm-hmm. Give him the time, give him the opportunity, relax. Trust him.
Amen.
He's never failed yet. And he doesn't intend to start failing. So Amen. Because there is power in that name. There is all power in that name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Son of God. And so let's remember that. Let's rejoice in that. And sometimes when we're feeling downcast, when we're feeling oppressed, and there's a lot of it going on at the moment in this world today, mm-hmm. the news and the things that you listen to and this COVID situation, guess what? There's more positives out there. There's more positives in the Word of God. There are great things. We sing a chorus, I have a destiny. I know I shall fulfill. Amen. Do you believe you have a destiny?
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe COVID's going to stop you.
No.
We have a destiny.
Yeah.
Fabian, you didn't arrive at church as you did. God mm-hmm. had an appointment.
Amen.
God had a place, a time, a situation waiting there ready for you. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't just by coincidence.
Mm-mm.
It was a design.
By
a plan. God's blueprint brings each and every one of us together. And you know, if we will stick with that plan, if we will stick with that blueprint, we will see God moving mightily.
Amen.
And filling the place and filling you and expanding you as individuals, doing things that you have never ever done before.
Amen.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
I think it's great. You know, that God is planning to do things with each and every one of us, things that we've never ever done before, and God is at work doing those things. And I think that's wonderful, that God is about to do great and mighty things in each and every one of our lives. And so let's rejoice in that. Let's praise God for that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And the title at the top of this chapter in my Bible at the moment says, no condemnation now.
Amen.
No condemnation now.
Amen.
Yeah. The devil wants to condemn you.
Amen. It does.
Condemnation holds us back. Condemnation stops us doing the things that we should be doing.
Mm.
The devil whispers lies into our ears constantly if he gets an opportunity. Well, just remind him, Romans 8, there's no condemnation now to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Today, I ask you the question, does Christ dwell in you? Do you dwell in Christ? What's your answer to that? If the answer's yes, then, as it says here in Romans 8, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's one of the keys that so often we forget. For there to be no condemnation, we need to be walking after the Spirit, not after the things of the flesh.
Yeah.
I know we're a fleshly being, but first and foremost, it is the Spirit that should rule and reign in each and every one of our lives.
Yeah.
And so as the Spirit rules, and directs us, we move forward in God. And so we move forward in God so that the Spirit controls the flesh.
Amen.
The Word of God controls the flesh. And we make the flesh submit. We make the flesh bow down.
Amen.
To the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let everything that has a name, let it bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the principle of what God's promise is. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We were prisoners to the law of sin and death.
Mm-hmm.
Sin and death ride together.
Yeah.
Things in twos. It's a principle. Sin and death ride together. And that's the law that God has placed within it, in the earth and within all the things of God. But it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. So the Spirit and Christ together, the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. The Spirit and the Word together has made me free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you free today?
Yeah.
The Word and the Spirit is what makes us free. The Word and the Spirit is what brings deliverance. The Word and the Spirit is what releases us from the oppression of the enemy.
Amen.
The Word of the Spirit is what empowers us. The Word of the Spirit is what causes us to do great things, signs, wonders, and miracles in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are fulfilling that great commission. And it is through the Word and the Spirit flowing through us, because that's God's intention. That was God's initial plan in the Garden of Eden, that His Word and His Spirit will be constantly flowing through His humanity.
Amen.
Through that man, Adam, and through his descendants, it would flow.
Amen.
And that power would flow.
Wow.
And it would dictate, it would determine the destiny of humanity. And as we know, Adam failed in his plans and purposes. He made that mistake, but thank God, hallelujah. Let's have a look at that verse 3, it says, where it says, God sending his own son in the likeness. What was he saying there? That word there, in the likeness, is meaning he's sending his own son as resembling the first Adam.
Huh.
He's sending his own son as resembling the first Adam. The first Adam was made sinless and spotless, but he became sinful. But yet, God starts again. He says, my son's coming as the second Adam. He's coming just as I started from the very beginning. I haven't changed course. I keep saying this, I know at times, God has not changed course.
No.
God has not changed the plan. Just because there are things going on in the world around us, just because things in the past and in the future may happen, God still has not changed course.
Amen.
He has set his purpose. He has set his destiny to bring humanity back to himself, to draw each and every one of us into his kingdom, to draw each and every one of us into a personal one-to-one relationship with Father God.
Amen.
That's what it's about. That our relationship becomes a personal one-to-one with Father God. He created us for communication with him, for communion, for relationship. And so Jesus was sent in the very likeness of Adam, in the resemblance of Adam. But Jesus came as the second Adam. But in no way did he have Adam's nature. He didn't have Adam's sinful nature. You see, when Adam was created in the first part, he did not have a sinful nature. But as we came before the, as we come before the Lord, our sinful nature, when we surrender to Christ, we give him our everything. And there's that great song, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we're to do. And as we surrender everything to Christ and surrender and acknowledge that we are sinners, and as we realize that within our own lives and say, Lord, forgive me, Come into my heart, come into my life, and forgive me and change me. Be the Lord of my life. Give me a new plan and a new purpose. He'll give you his eternity. He'll give you that plan. He'll give you that purpose for life. And God will set you free. And so then when we are set free, as we are, though for those in Christ Jesus, they're no longer called sinners, but we're called saints.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's Saint David there praising the Lord. Glory to God. He sings to us every day, Saint David.
Amen.
Rejoicing and lifting our hearts, and as he praises and worships God. There's Saint Stephen down there. He wants to get on the drums again and start banging the drums for Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. And he'll be at church tomorrow. He'll be building the new platform at church tomorrow. So praise God. And so we do these things to glorify Jesus, because God has called us as saints in the kingdom of God. We're no longer the sinners. We're saints who sin occasionally.
Yeah.
But we're not sinners.
No.
We're redeemed through the precious blood. We're redeemed by that precious sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. Just turn with me to Romans chapter 17. Sorry, Romans chapter 7 and verse 22. Romans chapter 7 and verse 22. And here he says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." The new inward man. It's created for the Spirit of God. He's created from above, and we are born of the Spirit of God through the acceptance of Jesus Christ into our lives. The old nature seeks to try and keep you and me captive.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt sometimes it's trying to pull you back?
Yeah.
The old nature. Well, it's not as strong as the pulls that pull us forward into Christ. And so we keep pressing in. We keep pushing forward. If you never had any resistance, you'd never gain strength.
No, true.
If you never faced opposition, you'd never become strong in the Lord. You'd never become equipped. When a warrior is preparing for battle, he practices. He goes into combat with a point of pretense, shall we say, that they practice combat techniques. And they are building strength within their physical being. They're building mental capabilities to face the onslaught of battle. And so every battle we face, it should be building something in us.
Yeah.
And that we become stronger. You see, Jesus did not. Jesus is not investing in weak, wimpy people.
No.
He said, "I give you all power and all authority in my name." And so we have to be a people who can handle the power and handle the authority.
Amen.
And so we have to go through some training at times, through some course of challenges that we face, because these courses of challenges that we face are preparing us to use our power and authority that we have in that mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
That preparation that we have in the wonderful name of Jesus. And so the Spirit of God is within us. And, you know, we delight in the law of God. You see, the law of God has drawn us to Christ. But you see, there's a new law within our lives. Because we have a new nature, we have a new law. He's come to set the captives free. And the Bible teaches that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
God did not create you for captivity.
No.
He created you for freedom. He created you to be free. He created you to not be restricted by circumstances and situations.
Yeah.
But he created you and I to rise above.
Mm.
He's made you more than a conqueror.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, that we would rise above all circumstances and all situations. Oh, I'm not saying that some days that it's going to be easy every day. It's not. But as we press in, we shall see the power of God working in our lives. We shall become stronger each day with the challenges that we face. God is equipping the saints for their work in the ministry. That's Ephesians 4. God is wanting to equip each and every one of us for work in ministry. That's Ephesians 4 and 12. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. And it says, for he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. God himself made Jesus, his own son, to be sin for us. He took upon himself my sins, your sins. God placed them upon Jesus. Every sin that we have committed and every sin that will be committed was placed upon Jesus, was placed upon a man who had known no sin. Can you imagine the enormity of what that must have felt like? He didn't know what sin was. He had no feeling of sin in his very being. And yet then on that cross would laid upon him the sins of the entire world. Right from the beginning to the end of time, God placed it upon Jesus. And you know, we know it says, and darkness covered the face of the earth. Can you imagine the darkness that came upon Jesus as he was separated for the first time in eternity? He was separated from his heavenly Father. Total disconnection. Faced in a blackness of nothing, of just in a blackness of absolute total evil, he's separated from his Father. He'd never known this. He'd never experienced this at all. The enormity of it all was resting upon him. You know, he could have said in the garden, I can't do it, God. I'm not going to do it. This far and no further. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. And sometimes we ourselves, we don't get to that point of that enormity of sin upon our lives and situations. But, you know, we have to say, even in the difficult times, not my will, Lord, but your will. Not my will, but your will. I know in my lifetime, I know I've faced things, and I have had to come to a point of saying, not my will, but your will. There are things that I would have liked to have done in a situation, in a circumstance. And then the Lord has spoken to me, and I've had to surrender all to him and say, not my will, but your will be done. Because there is a greater plan than that point of time. There's a greater plan than that moment that is going on.
Yeah.
Right there in your life and in my life at that point of time. There is a bigger picture. There is a greater reward that is ahead of you and I than we've ever seen so far.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so let us press in for that reward. Let us press in knowing that he himself, who knew no sin, became my sin. He took upon Daniel's sin. He took upon Ian's sin. He took upon David's sin. He took upon himself our sins, that we might be made righteous, that we might be made righteous, that we might approach God Almighty, that we might come into the presence, that we might have that robe of righteousness covering us and sort of just clothing ourselves in that robe of righteousness. And when the devil looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ resting on us. We're covered, amen, not just by the blood, but by the righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 8. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. And it says this, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, the righteousness of law is going to be fulfilled in you and I as we walk after the Spirit. That righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in each and every one of us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
In other words, there's a legal right of the saints. What's that legal right? Let's turn to Revelation. You might not need to turn to it. I'll read it to you if you want. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8. I'll say that again. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints.
Wow.
This is the church. This is the bride of Christ. She was to be granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Today, God has made you righteous through Christ Jesus. You are clean through Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, that's the power in that name.
Whoa.
That's the power of Jesus working in each and every one of us. What a wonderful name of Jesus. That name of Jesus has made me clean. That name of Jesus is preparing me to be part of the bride of Christ. That name of Jesus is equipping me.
Amen.
That name of Jesus assists me in my challenges. That name of Jesus has delivered me and set me free. That name of Jesus has healed me and given me life. That name of Jesus has set me free from being captive to the thoughts of the enemy.
Yes.
My thoughts are not your thoughts, Isaiah says. God says in Isaiah 55, but my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. For my thoughts are higher than your ways. Hallelujah. Come on. Think the thoughts of God.
Amen.
Let the word of God, you see, the word of God is here to wash our minds. It's to cleanse us. You know, we get so much garbage thrown at us through the day. Even on your iPhones, messages come through, advertising and all sorts of things come through. You know, we need our minds to be constantly being washed by the word of God. Let the word of God wash us and clean us and set us free. You see, all men are guilty. They cannot be justified by their own personal character or conduct. We're guilty. We're guilty, every one of us. Everyone. And then it says, justification is a legal return for removing guilt and punishment that should go with the sinner. You know, we are being made righteous. Being made righteous means we have been justified, just as if I had never sinned. That's where we're at. That's where God has brought us to. It's just as if Steve had never sinned.
Oh,
wow. I didn't know he was so perfect. Did you? But that's the meaning of it. It is just as if I had never sinned. Look, you know, just look on the screen now. You can see yourself and say to yourself, it is just as if I had never sinned.
It is just as if I had never sinned.
This is where we're at. This is the righteousness of God that is laid upon us, that it has brought us to a place where it is just as if I'd never sinned. It's a legal term.
Amen.
God works with legal terms.
Yeah.
And he's brought us to that place and he says, I've cleansed you. You've never sinned.
Wow.
And we would stand there and want to argue with God and say, but. And he says, no, my child has never sinned. A price has been paid.
Amen.
There is no record in the book. And God says, I've checked the book.
Amen.
You know, God says, I've had the book. I've looked at it.
Amen.
And I've checked. There's no record.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. There's no record.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. There's no record, glory to God. There's no record.
Thank you.
And this is what Christ, this is what the power of that name of Jesus has done for each and every one of us. There is no record.
Amen.
And yet we let the devil come and torment us with thoughts and ideas, and we've got to turn around and tell him, hey, my father, show me the book. And there's no record.
Mm.
There's no record. So where are you getting your information from? You see, he's a liar.
Yeah.
He's a thief.
Yeah.
He's a destroyer. Don't listen to his lies. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Listen to the voice of the Spirit that speaks through the Word of God. Get into your Word and let the Word breathe life into you. You know, it starts right at the beginning in verse 1 of that same chapter. There is therefore now no.
Amen.
It doesn't say there is therefore now some condemnation.
Nope.
It says there is now no condemnation. There isn't one letter. There isn't a sentence of condemnation over our lives because of the blood of Christ and the Lord Jesus working in our lives.
Amen.
You see, verse 4 is about a church who is walking not after the flesh, but a church that is walking after the Spirit, a church that is desiring to see the plans of God, of a holy God being fulfilled in our lives and in the lives of others that we come into contact with. This is what God wants to do. This is God's plan. This is God's time and destiny for each and every one of us. And so we press forward onto that. Verse 5 of Romans 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Who's going to rule your life? Are you going to let your fleshly life rule, or are you going to let the Spirit rule? Because it says if we let the Spirit rule, our minds are set free. We're free in Christ. We're listening to the voice of God, not listening to the voice of men.
Amen.
Don't let the voice of men become louder than the voice of God.
Amen.
Let the voice of God speak into each and every one of our lives. Don't mind the things of the flesh. In other words, don't give them too much space. Don't let them be the one who's ruling and reigning. The voice of the Spirit, the word of the Spirit, is to rule and to reign in each and every one of us. And you know, if we listen to the voice of the flesh, the voice of the flesh most of the time will bring fear. What if?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it won't. This could happen. It's all the negatives.
Yeah.
And yet we listen to the voice of the Spirit and we hear God speaking. And we know that he's holding our hand. We know that we're in touch with the Heavenly Father, and the voice of the throne room speaks into our very being. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You are not orphans.
No.
Hallelujah. You are not orphans. You are adopted into the family of God. Praise his wonderful name. And so God wants to speak to us and to touch us and strengthen us. You know, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And I know I mentioned this last week, then the Lord God formed man out of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And you might say, well, you said this last week. I know, and I'm going to keep saying these things till you get it. John Wesley said that you could preach a message 14 times, 15 times before you actually remembered it properly. And yeah, he was once on a crusade somewhere, and one of the church leaders said to him after a few nights, when are you going to preach a different message? And he turned around to him and said, when you become born again.
Amen.
He knew the Spirit. You see, and God knows. God knows, and he will keep hammering these words across until you receive it, till you act upon it, until it becomes you, till you become that living, breathing person of God with that anointing resting in you. And so God here breathes the life of breath. What is it meaning? God's breath is being imparted. God himself is imparting life into Adam.
Amen.
Breath. You know, the Jews, the name that they had for God was literally, it was like this. It wasn't a name. What's God's name? This is God's name. That's the only, when it comes to Yahweh, that's how Adam knew God. His first connection, his first contact with God was when God did. And he breathed life into him. A quickening life. A life that was meant to be a life of eternity. Hallelujah. And so God breathes that life of eternal life into each every one of us. What does it mean when it says, and God breathed the breath of life? Well, we know what the breath is. It was God himself. The breath of life. It means that he made man to be complete spirit, soul, and body. That's what God did when he said life. It was to be complete. It was firstly spirit. Then it was your mind. And then it was your body.
Amen.
And so God breathed that into Adam at the very beginning of eternity. And here we are today. God wants to breathe his spirit again into each and every one of us, to bring a quickening into our hearts and lives. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. And these are the words of Jesus. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's focusing on you. I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, till you have the dunamis, the power, the explosive power of God in your lives.
Amen.
This was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. You need to tarry before God. We need to tarry before God until we have been enabled, till God's breath of the Holy Spirit has put his enabling power into each and every one of us, the breath of God. His power has not changed. It is simple that we need to begin to understand it and to learn to use it and to use it for the glory of God.
Amen.
That's why he gave us that power, to build the kingdom of God, to build his church, to change lives, to reach out and touch people with the presence and the power of God. And that's so important. We don't hear the Spirit because he's become carnally minded, because that which is carnally minded is death. The Spirit speaks to those who are spiritual. We need to tune our spirits. Our spirits need to be listening to God.
Yeah.
Back in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, he says this: for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if we keep thinking in the natural, if we keep thinking in the realms of the natural, it will only bring death to us.
Mm-hmm.
It will bind us. It will restrict us. The word tells us that if we are spiritually minded, to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Mm-hmm.
Today, there's a lot of turmoil in the world. There appears to be little peace. There's a lot of fear going around. And yet it says, but if you're spiritually minded, you will be at peace. Because for a fact, you have a destiny, you have a purpose on life, and God intends you to fulfill that. And so let's be spiritually minded. Let's trust the word of God. Let's believe in the power of this name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's rest in that. And let's know that this word works in our lives, changing us and forming us and shaping us. And verse 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. You see, the carnal mind has rebelled against the laws of God. This natural mind has rebelled against the laws of God, and it has sought to go in a different direction, and so it won't be subject to God's law. You see, God has set laws in motion. And these laws are there for our protection and for our covering and for our guidance. But yet the carnal mind goes in the opposite direction. And the word says in chapter 8 and verse 7, but the carnal mind is enmity with God. The carnal mind, what is that? That is the mind of the flesh. This is not the mind of God. It is the mind of the flesh. You see, the unbeliever, I read this statement today, and I'm just going to read this statement that I think it was in one of my daily readings somewhere, or a Bible commentary note. The unbeliever's problem is much deeper than acts of disobedience, which are merely an outward manifestation of inner fleshly compulsions. His basic inclination and orientation towards gratifying himself, however outwardly, religiously or moral he may appear, they are directly hostile to God. Even good deeds unbelievers perform are not truly a fulfillment of God's law, because they are products by the flesh for selfish reasons and from a heart that is in rebellion. Today, men's hearts are in direct rebellion against God. They're in direct rebellion against the work of the cross. The only way that changes is when we submit our lives to Jesus and invite him to come in and begin to follow him. Jesus said to his disciples, follow me.
Amen.
Follow me. So many people are coming to church, are going to churches, but they're not following Jesus. They're not following his principles. They're not following his purposes. They're following their own ways, their own ideas. They are making the word of God fit their circumstances and situations. It wasn't made to fit your circumstance and your situation. It was made to equip you, to prepare you to go through circumstances and situations, and to go through that circumstance and that situation, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were placed in a fiery furnace. And when it was all over, they came out, their bondages were gone, and they did not smell of smoke. Oh, the circumstance, the situation did not taint them in any way, in any shape or form. Why? Because they did not rebel against God. They submitted and honored God. And as we honor God in all that we seek to do, we shall come out not smelling of fire. The smoke will not be upon us. The fire will not have touched us.
Amen.
But we will have the presence of a holy God amongst us, flowing through us and delivering us and set us free. Verse 8 says, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you and I are constantly walking in the flesh and seeking to do the things of the flesh constantly, you will never, I will never please God. And I want to be a God pleaser.
Amen.
I want to please my Heavenly Father. I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. Do you want to hear that? Let's have a look at verse 9. And the writer says this, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Hallelujah, amen. Glory to God. We're not in the flesh, he says. You're in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The writer is sensing that the people, the believers in Rome, are in the spirit. Okay. They're not people of the flesh. Now, Rome was a very fleshly society.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, here they are, he's saying, but you're in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his.
Yeah.
If the Spirit's not in you, we don't belong to him.
Mm.
It's the seal. It's the seal of God upon a believer's life. The Holy Spirit, the indwelling, the impartation of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. In other words, when it says there that in verse 9, and it says, now if any man have not, what does it mean there? It means you and I are wearing. That's what it means. It means you are wearing the Spirit. It uses that same word that is used with John the Baptist when he wore a coat of camel's hair. They talk about John and he wore a coat of camel's hair. That word says, any man have, that same word have. It means wearing. It means you are covered on. You are clothed with the Spirit. I have been in situations in meetings where people have actually, when we've called a prayer line, they've come up for prayer, and I remember one person coming up for prayer and standing there and just suddenly said, I just see Jesus all over you. I'm like, wow, what's going off? We've had a situation where we've had a prayer line, and literally I've just begun to walk towards people, and the presence and the power of God was so present there that literally they were falling over with the anointed presence of Jesus in the room. We're wearing the Spirit. We're wearing the Spirit of God, clothed as John was clothed with that garment at the very beginning of camel's hair. That same word he was wearing. John had the Spirit of God as he took the word, took that message. And so we are to wear the Spirit constantly upon us. When we give our lives to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and he makes a home there. The evidence of his presence will be by the fruit of the spirits in Galatians 5 and verses 22 and verse 23. Galatians 5 and verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is what says that we are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you tell whether a person's a Christian, not whether they go to a church, whether they are flowing with gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Is the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Is it flowing out of you, touching other people as we travel through life's journey? Praise his wonderful name. You know, this new gift of life that Christ gave to us requires us to receive the word and to cooperate with the word. Our cooperation as believers in faith and obedience to God. We are his children, and he is leading us by the power of the Spirit. And his new life in this body becomes the following. We're not the leader. He is the leader in our lives. He's the one who directs us. We are submitting to him. We're submitting to the work of the Spirit. And the new life, the body becomes the follower, not the leader. Amen. It's the Spirit of God in us. Praise his wonderful name. You know, when we allow the Holy Spirit into our lives, we choose to put to death the ways of the flesh and our sinful passions expressed through our thoughts, words, and deeds. That's what we do. We choose to put them to death. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are, I'll read that one again. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We become sons of God. In becoming a son of God, we begin to do the work of the Father and fulfilling what the Lord Jesus commissioned you and I to do, all of his disciples to do, at that time of that great commission of go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons in my name. That is a powerful name. That is a name of equipping. That is a name with a purpose and a plan for your life. You might say, well, I can't preach. Your very life preaches.
Yeah.
Your very life that you live should be exuding Jesus. It should preach Jesus wherever you go. People look at you and see Jesus in each and every one of you. That's the intention.
Yeah.
You may not even have to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Smith Wigglesworth, there were people, he would walk past people and people would fall down on the floor, even in the streets, and ask him, what is it about you? There's something about you. It was the presence of a holy God flowing through his very life. You might say, well, that was for him. No, it's for everybody. It was for every one of us. I pray that the Lord would rest mightily on each and every one of you. I pray that you would have that desire to draw closer to him. And I pray that the enemy, as he comes against you, will hit such a brick wall the Spirit that it will be like a fortified, electrified, high-voltage fence and would just blast him out.
Yeah.
And every time he hits it, he'll be flat on his back and he'll begin to realize there is no way through because you are covered in the holy robe of righteousness, empowered by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Keep your battery charged. Keep the Word of God strong in each and every one of us, and we will see kingdoms coming down, and we shall see the kingdom of God rising in strength because of the power in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you.
Amen.